Hey there, listener. Do me a favor. Look to your left. Look to your right. Do you see any dice around you? No? Well, that's because you have not taken the opportunity, your last chance, to go to greenleafgeek.com and use Dragon Punch Squad at checkout to get a discount on some fantastic artisan dice. This is your last chance before all of their stuff is gone, and it will be gone forever. Go there right now, get some new dice for your loved one, for your friends, your family, a stranger, I don't care, they'll love it regardless. Go to greenleafgeek.com right now, use Dragon Punch Squad for a special discount, and I will see you in the episode.
As we went off air at one point, we jokingly said that Grimshaw's rival, Malus, was, we jokingly said his name like Malus Grimshaw, sort of like Jerry and Newman from Seinfeld, which I think is really funny, just to, if they were like really petty, because that's all that they were in that show. They were just really petty rivals. Grimshaw and Malus became enemies. But you got any like fun rivals from like TV shows or something like that? Because there's some pretty funny ones out there.
Yeah, off the top of my dome, I'm just going for Ash and Gary.
Bastard, I was going to do that.
Oh, that's a good one.
I know. I stole it because you bear the name, sir.
Yeah.
Because you bear the name. That's why I stole it.
My middle name is Gary, in case, because everyone's confused right now.
Okay. Is his middle name Ash?
Ash and or Gary.
You can do that, John.
Growing up, John, I was so jealous of your middle name. So jealous. You know, coolest middle name ever.
What's funny is it's named after my grandfather. His first name is Gary, and my mom hates the name.
What?
Really?
She's never liked the name Gary, but... they gave me middle name, and I like the name, so.
It's incredible.
At some point, I'm going to get a new job, and I'm just going to tell everybody to call me Gary.
Ooh.
Just walk in and be like, I'm Gary.
I mean, Jake knows that life.
Yep.
What, Jake from State Farm?
Yeah, that's the other joke.
Why would you want to go by Gary?
What? What kind of a question is that?
We just discussed that Gary is cool in Pokemon, therefore.
Yeah. Gary's here. Ash is a loser.
I don't know if I reinvented myself, I would choose Gary as a name.
No, it's just because it's my middle name.
It's already his name.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Wait, pay attention while your coworkers are talking.
I was thinking of my rival that I wanted to do, and I spaced out.
Kelly, you've been saying that a lot recently. Something, something, and I spaced out.
Spaced out.
Okay. My life's hard, guys. I don't have a lot of brain power left at this time of night.
You know, honestly, the type of rivals I was thinking of, like, I had a couple of them. Then I was like, you know what? Have anyone seen Akira?
Oh, my God.
I would say that technically, I would say after a point, Kaneda and Tetsuo are rivals. Like, because, you know, at the beginning, like, it's all about, you know, they're in the same biker gang and stuff. But when Tetsuo gets his powers and stuff like that, he kind of gets, like, very uppity. I guess, in a way, and he kind of starts turning into his thing, and the Kaneda, and like, I would classify them as rivals, even though it turns into, you know, Kaneda fighting a giant flesh monster at the end as Tetsuo's powers goes out of control and stuff like that, but like, just beyond them just shouting at each other, just going, Tetsuo! Kaneda! Just constantly just angrily shouting at each other.
I'd see that that's the key of like a rivalry is where they like everything that they do is somehow like thwarting each other.
Yeah, I mean
that's a good one.
Yeah, it was just like the one thing I was thinking. I was like, You know, technically, I guess they are. But
there's no world in which any of you would guess the rivalry I'm thinking of.
Okay.
Was it like from Robot Chicken or something?
No. Better. Okay.
Is it two football teams? Because that does make sense.
No.
Trump and Biden?
That's too easy. No, I'm thinking of Mr. Turner and Dinkelberg.
Oh, dude, I love that. Oh, my God, yes. I almost picked that.
Dinkelberg.
Dinkelberg.
Timmy, why are you playing with that giant rocket launcher? Which I can't shoot at the Dinkelberg's house because it's out of ammo. Iconic. Iconic.
Iconic.
God, that is a good one.
John, you almost picked Dinkelberg and Mr. Turner?
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, so maybe there was a world.
That's a funny one, too, because it's definitely one-sided. The one-sided rivalries are very funny to me.
Oh, yeah. Dinkelberg just owns Turner every episode.
All the time.
He doesn't even know he's doing it.
No, he's just living his life. That's the Ned Flanders and Homer Simpson, where, like, Ned Flanders just existing, living his perfect little life, and Homer's just like, meh.
Best rivalries.
I think it was one episode, Timmy was like, I think we could probably afford to go on vacation if you made as much money as Mr. Dinkelberg.
Dinkelberg. So funny. Oh, my God. I always go back to Professor X and Magneto.
Oh, yeah. That is classic.
Classic.
Because they're friends in the beginning, and they just parted ways at a certain point. And they're so stuck in, like, their path because they're so driven. And that's the thing, is that, like, they, in the right circumstances, could beat each other, but they're always protecting themselves enough. And so it's like they know that they are their worst enemy, and therefore they have to avoid that person as much as possible. And God, just like the movies did a good job of it, and like, you know, you go back to like the comics and stuff like that, and that's like that's it. You know, like there was a separation at one point, and then they just never looked back, and they've just been trying to get the other one to come to their side.
I can't really think of one off the top of my head. Maybe Tim and the IRS. True enemies.
True enemies.
Disclosure.
I do want to say this very quickly. When I said, hey, so topic's going to be about like rivalries and stuff like that. And both Tim and Kelly said, fictional or like personal? And I said, do you have personal rivals?
I did when I was in elementary school.
Go on. Talk about it.
There was a kid that followed me around in fourth grade, and he followed me and my other friend around and, like, wanted to be our friends, but he was really, really annoying and obnoxious about it, and we weren't really into being friends with him. So when he started to pick up on that, he just started to annoy us all the time. And I guess this is less of a rivalry and more of me just being a bully. But eventually we grabbed him and we threw him into a tree.
Into a tree?
Yeah. This does sound like you're being a bully.
Yeah. We tried to be nice to him, but he was awful.
There was a guy like that in high school. He was hated by, like, everybody. It was one of those things where it was just like, if he was around, you just knew you were going to get pissed off. But he was, like, not self-aware enough to realize that he was being mean. So he just thought that everybody was just, like, in on the joke, like one of those guys. And there was one time that I was sitting at lunch because he happened to be friends with some of my friends. And it was when my mom was pregnant. And when I came in, I was like, oh, guys, my mom's having a baby, blah, blah, blah. And so I tell my friends, and they're all, you know, excited, being excited teenagers, being happy. And then he was just like, you know who the dad is? And I was like, if you fucking say you, I swear to God, I will punch you in the mouth. And he was like, me. And I got up, and I fucking gave this dude a fucking haymaker off the school table.
As you should have.
Boom!
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Okay, I actually have a real rival.
Okay.
So, my friend Alex, we started as bitter, awful rivals in soccer, like youth soccer.
Oh.
Hated each other. Because for years, we were on opposing soccer teams, and my team was always way better than his, and he was the best player on his team by far, because everybody on his team was awful. So when they played, he was always pretty good, and he's a lot bigger than everybody else. So their team did pretty well, yes, but yeah, when they played us, we kicked their ass because our team was like really, really good. And we were always really aggressive and always shoving each other, and we hated each other. And then we became best friends.
Wow. Look at that.
We're still friends to this day. Just went to the beach with him.
Yep, now you guys crush nooners together.
Oh my god. So many nooners.
So many nooners. Crushing bones, you crush nooners.
So many.
So my real life rival, I don't know if he even listens to the podcast anymore. Call out if you ever make it to this episode, James. James has been my rival since we met. Just a rival of video games, you know? He's always been just a little bit better than me. So he was always the cool rival. I was always the dorky underdog.
If you wanted to see fucking legendary Smash clashes, me and my brother James, it almost got physical many times. I used to dog him because he always picked the overpowered characters, and I just played Dr. Mario. Yeah.
Dr. Mario is overpowered.
No, he's not.
His over A in the air, instant KO.
Try landing that 100% of the time, my man. See how that works out.
Hey, my character was Marth, and it was the same move. Over A Marth in the air.
But Marth is actually an OP character.
I was going to say, yeah. That's one of the ones that, like, in competitions that, like, you see them use three moves with that character.
I did it before it was cool, back in Melee. James, yeah, back course. In Melee days.
James was a Sheikah player.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck that character. Justin Smash, he's cool otherwise.
I mean, guys, the whole like Mario versus Bowser is a huge rivalry.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of sitting out there, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, nobody picked that one up.
Yeah, I mean,
you could also list literally any video game protagonist and then the antagonist.
For the most part,
I would say for the categorization of a rival, you're not trying to actively murder them. Like Mario and Bowser eventually got to a point they are rivals, but they're not like trying to murder each other purposely. Because the end of most of Mario games, or, I mean, like, besides the ones that were, like, just 2D, like, it turns into, like, I guess I'm not invited to your party, like, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
What about Mario 64? You literally threw him off a cliff, like, off the edge of the battlefield to his death.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. After, like, the older ones, it just seemed you're like, oh, what was it, Super Mario Odyssey, where they're on the moon together, and they're just, like, trying to vie after Princess Peach. It's just the goofiest shit ever. And you're just like, oh, they don't actually hate each other, but they do at the same time.
Yeah, there's the, Paper Mario, the Origami King. Mm-hmm. You actually do team up with Bowser, and it's very funny because, like, there's a certain point where he's like, not many, you probably wouldn't expect me to give fatherly advice here, but listen. Like, Bowser, like, gives you fatherly advice. It's really funny.
Yeah, because he has a kid.
Because he's a kid.
Last rivalry I'll mention, legendary Olympic rivalry, Sonic and Mario.
The one true rivalry is God and Satan.
I was going to say Kratos and all the other
that
gods.
That is an OG rivalry, yeah.
Top god.
Yeah, but I've read spoilers to that, so.
I've read spoilers.
It is really weird that people try to choose one side over the other when one clearly is going to win. Well, I don't think any other episode is going to rival this one, because this one is going to be a banger.
Nice segue.
Killing this last dude.
Yeah. As we're going to start off here with a little flashback to like a few seconds ago, just about. So at one point, Melis used a spell on Grimshaw and said, no, wait. And it was like a pacifying spell. Okay. In that moment, we have another scene where the worms sort of slow down time. And you see, we, the players in the audience, see what was actually happening in that time that Grimshaw could not attack Malus. We see Malus laying on the mud and propping himself up by the elbow with his hand outstretched.
Malus, no, wait, Grimshaw, no. You must understand all the suffering before you. There is nothing but death in our wake. It was a mercy when I sent members to kill you. You are too good for this world. You will never recover from what we must do. Our entire purpose is as the Crimson Rose, it was eternal, to just fight evil. What kind of purpose is that? It never ends, Grimshaw. There is always more evil to fight, always more things to strike down with no end in sight. All we did was fight. We have no goals in our order, but this evil you speak of, they have goals, a plan, a path forward. The Scarlet Triad offers a promise of power. They have goals. If your entire purpose is endless fighting and stopping others from achieving something, then fine. But take my warning. You will find no solace at this end. And Grimshaw, what do you say back to this?
Malus, you know as well as I, by the moment that we were gifted by the Chrono Worm, that our purpose has no end. Just as the Chrono Worm has no end, have you forsaken them too? That you forget the cyclical nature of the universe? We were born to fight a never-ending evil, and we will die in that cycle, serving our purpose. Maybe that is why I have been sent to you, to offer you the blessing of exiting in this eternal loop. Bring it to rest. Your part is done, Malus. It is clear now that the worm has forsaken you, as you have forsaken the Crimson Briar. The Triad was a test to see if you would hold true to the cosmic powers, to our ultimate goal of completing the cycle. But you couldn't see it. You have failed, Malus. And the Triad, it will burn. It will burn, the gold will melt, and evil will fall. And yes, it may rise again. But that is not our chapter. Our chapter was to bring an end to it, and have peace. Peace at least in our lifetime. But you couldn't see. You couldn't see the reward of playing a part of the cycle. And now, you must die.
And he just looks up into the storm above and the cosmos beyond, and he just says, I need the power to end the cycle of tomorrow. Tomorrow must burn. And he gets struck down by Benson in this moment.
Take his worm! Take the worm!
Now you have two of them!
Suck his worm off!
So you can take both worms, and now you have two Chrono Worms?
Two worms?
Now there are two of them.
All right, Jake, that means I can double the fees.
You get two chances to roll your initiative.
Yeah, don't give the worm to anybody. You get it's like, no, I have advantage two on your initiative.
Jerk. Hey, that'd be really good for Elkwood. No.
Good point, Jake.
I don't want it.
Fuck him.
No one can be trusted with this power but me.
But me.
So we ended with their... This combat is still going on. This Scarlet Triad Bruiser is still up and kicking. He's bleeding. Let's be clear. He's bleeding. And he just took out Grimshaw, if I remember correctly. You are... Did he take you out? Take you down with a crit there, Tim?
Yeah, I'm dying too.
Dying too.
Hey, dying too. With two worms. Not a bad way to start the night.
It comes to your turn, but you would actually go before him since you went down.
Yep.
Okay, so let me slide you up here. And then it comes to Benson. It is your turn. With Malus down and Grimshaw down, you're 10 feet away from this bruiser.
Yeah, but I'm also probably going to just heal Grimshaw.
Don't heal me. Leave it up to fate to decide if I die.
Also, he's dying. He's not saying any of this.
Man, this has happened before.
He tries to say something with his, quote, dying breath. No, you see him pee himself.
No, I can hold on one more round.
Benson grabs his collar and just open hand slaps right across his mouth. But it's a lay on hand rule.
Yeah, of course.
Slap him again. That one's for the road.
Alright, so there was a
last action. I guess I'll swing at the guy.
Yep. You do have flanking because of Amir, so...
Thanks, Amir.
Gives a thumbs up. But there's a talent up.
Ah! 2 on the die.
Oh my gosh.
22.
Alright. I don't get attack of opportunity because I think I used it. Did I use it on Grimshaw?
Yeah, I think that was the ironic part, right?
I think so.
Because I think you went to do something and you got, like, he's like, oh, attack of opportunity.
Yeah, attack of opportunity. Yeah, that sounds about right. It's also been 2 weeks, so forgive us if we mess up some of the order of operations here. All right, Elkwood, it's your turn.
Okay. Seeing that, he is going to sit there and swing. He is hasted. So he's just going to roll with his Elvish Curve Blade. This guy's right next to him. He's in flanking position.
Yep, still flanking.
Hell yeah, that is a 2 on a die.
Oh my gosh.
All right.
That's a 23.
2s for everyone.
Does that hit?
Nope.
He's gonna swing again. Plus 16 to hit. That's a 30 to hit.
That with flanking, that is hit.
Ooh, fuck yeah. Damage. That's 4d8. 26.
He is hunted prey, so.
26 points of damage.
It happens every recording session. You say 48 damage, and I immediately hear 48 damage.
Like, yeah.
Whoa. Yeah, 48, not 4d8.
4d8. But yeah, that is 26 points of damage.
All right.
And if he's not bleeding, he's bleeding now. Again.
He was already bleeding, so.
Okay, so it doesn't matter.
Now he's double bleeding.
Yeah, now he's going to swing again.
Yeah, that stacks, right? You can just keep making people bleed more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is a 4 on the die, and he is hasted.
So, another one?
It caps out at minus 10, might as well.
Caps out at minus 10.
Yeah. Plus 11 to hit. That's a 20. So,
All right.
Now Vamir, go.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Is plus Vamir, bite his head off.
Seriously, do it. I'd be proud of you. No, he's not. That's a 24. And he's going to swing again. Plus 13. 21.
Nope. Wolf. This guy's invincible. He should have been the boss.
Yeah.
He secretly took the worm.
Yeah.
That's why Grimshaw doesn't have the second worm.
That's
also
right.
Also because he just came back conscious.
While you were unconscious, this guy grabbed that bonus worm and put it into his underpants. He was like, just try to grab it. Kezra, your turn.
I like it when it wriggles.
Nice.
All right, Kezra's eyes shine. As he casts Sure Strike, and he will cast, once again, Blazing Bolt. Fuck it, I'm going to cast it at 5th level, because I think I can.
Why not? I was going to say, it's one last enemy, so.
Okay, so that was a natural 1, so I'm glad I cast Sure Strike.
Oh my god.
5. Awesome! So cool.
Wow. I love it when my big spells don't do a fucking thing!
Have I hit any of them with Blazing Bolt? Have I landed any of them?
I thought you hit people last time.
You hit 5 damage, I think.
Yeah.
Been so bad.
Dory, you had an awesome opener to this battle. You've done your work, man. Just take it off. Take off. You know?
Well, one guy critically succeeded at the Chain Lightning, and then Malus succeeded, right?
It wasn't Malus, it was one of the bruisers.
I think it was a thug, actually.
Malus took a little damage. The stupid thug, natural 20 on a 6th level chain lightning.
Yes. That dwarf was impossible. to hit with that.
You did not see the cardboard.
Right, he had on his rubber galoshes.
His rubber galoshes.
It is raining. He must have worn those out. Grimshaw, it's your turn.
All right, I'm hasted. He used his reaction. Pick up mace. Stand up. Two actions. Strike with the Morningstar, right. Milani.
You thought you could bring me down. We have the power of gods on our side. What do you have?
I get knocked down, but I get up again.
I got a 30.
30. I don't. Not, is he flanking?
I'm not
because
flanking.
Vimir's off to his right.
No,
I don't think he is.
That's not a flank. Kelly, that's not a flank. No. Mm-mm.
No.
Alright, I got one.
Isimus.
Why did I use a strike when I could have just made him roll against Fortitude DC?
Do you have a lay on hands you can do to yourself?
I'm going to strike him again.
Why don't you just step into flanking?
I have one action left.
Well, you had two actions.
I had two actions. I wasted them.
But I used one to strike.
Kelly, do me a favor and shut the fuck up.
Like shaming people for their bad tactics and shitty characters.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, no, natural 3.
What did I say?
Just keeps on rolling.
Yeah. Talk it up, Mr. Sure Strike.
Collectively, I don't think me, Tim, or Kelly have rolled above a 10 so far in this fight.
I don't think so. It's been rough.
No, I rolled like, I think it was a 9. I rolled a 9.
Tim's bad luck has gone back to the other city we were in, you know, a week ago.
If Tim and Kelly project each other on anymore, I'm opening a drive-in theater.
Speaking of in-real-life rivals, Tim and Kelly. The amount of times they have argued over various things.
Off-air, about something on-air, it's really funny.
You know what, if you want to film Tim and I just ripping on each other, I feel like that would be a good time.
Our whole YouTube channel? Yeah, I could do that.
We don't hate each other yet.
No.
They think we're stronger than ever.
Well, Iron Sharpens Iron. You actually argue about that channel will probably get about 5 views. That dumb bullshit.
Alright, this bruiser is going to...
You won't hit me. You're too weak.
He needs to get out of flanking. I've hit you before. He will step out of flanking.
Run away, coward!
Actually, I think it's a fairly sound tactical move.
He will... Actually, Vimir was there. That'll get rid of his flanking. Alright, he'll stay there. And he will just attack Vimir.
I actually respect that.
Well, pummeling flurry.
Retributive strike, I guess. Right? Because he's surrounded.
Yeah. That's currently the plan.
As a 40 to hit.
Oh, that's a crit. Right.
Retributive strike and Grace of Milani, liberating step.
Yep. Retributive strike. This dude's about to get fucked 3 ways to Sunday.
Yep.
So what's the damage there?
All right. So 48 points of bludgeoning damage.
So minus 26.
Minus 26.
22.
So he would be taking 22 points of damage.
Correct.
Oh my god. Alright. He is 2 HP then.
Wow.
Okay.
And then we all get strikes.
Yep.
Do the strikes go first or does the movement go first?
Strikes first.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's... Well, okay. If we go in initiative order, Benson's would go first and then Grimshaw's would go first. Yeah. But I think because they're... I really want some clarification on this. I'm going to call Jason Ballman. Because I want to know...
Like, it'll be like, this is a tactical decision by you guys. This is your...
Yeah. Like, I mean, that's what I'm going with here. But, like, I do want to know, like, like I said, the order of operations when it comes to, like, this strike happens. What things happen in order? Because technically, this guy's pummeling flurry thing is one action. So I've been thinking about that. Like, does the one action happen first before the reactions? Because this one, you know what I mean?
After you take damage, for me, it's after the character takes damage or is grabbed.
Right, I know. So I'm just saying. Yeah, I'm just saying that there's a lot of things in all these like reactions, like jump on top of each other. That I'm like, all right, I want to figure it out one day.
Yeah.
Anyway, please do whatever you're doing for now until I say otherwise.
Sure.
So Vimir, Elkwood, Grimshaw, go ahead and make attack rolls with 95.
Alright, let's do this, Grimshaw.
Alright.
Another nat 3 for me.
Tim?
God.
There's a river over there that Grimshaw could just drown himself in. Go get your armor on and just walk.
That was one of the darkest things he's ever said in this.
Yeah, right. God damn it. That's an 18 from... That's a natural 2 and a natural 4 for Vamir.
Okay, I at least rolled a 34.
Okay, well, Vamir is also going to take that move action.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
This step, yeah.
Move away.
All right, so that you get your head up there, John.
All right. Okay. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. 18 damage.
All right. 18 points of damage.
Benson's like, tactically, strike now! It hits, and everybody, he's just waiting for everybody else to hit.
you just see...
It's like when the entire DBZ group trying to hit Broly.
Oh, yeah. There it is.
Oh, yeah, just nothing.
Airball. Why is he not in the fray with us?
I got zapped, don't you see him up in the sky, and can't you smell hot dogs burning?
Yeah. You smell barbecued ass dragon man. My roasted underpants fell on your... Well, I don't wear underpants. My roasted pants fell on your dead body.
Oh my god, Kesra. Is little Kesra okay?
It's coiled around my waist.
That's what it should be. Whenever Kesra's in like a lot of trouble, we go be like, is little Kesra okay?
Yeah.
So here's the thing. I don't think that... here's where the question comes in, because... When he hits with the club, he always uses the extra action or his second action to knock you down with the great club.
Yeah, and he can't do that because Vamir got a step.
Okay,
because it's a free, the step is a free action. A free action is gonna happen anytime.
Yeah, so then knockdown, and then with like knockdown, it says that like you you spend the extra action, but I don't think it takes the time of the extra action. You know what I mean? This is where the confusion is that it's like...
Whether or not Vamir got knocked down.
Right. So, I want this guy to die anyway, so I'm going to flip that pass.
Okay.
But,
I mean, Jake, if this next mine is just full of bruisers, you better figure this out quick.
I know, right? All right, so... in which case, he's now no longer flanked, so he will turn and swing on...
You won't hit me again, coward.
Grimshaw's bloodied, wounded.
You're really not helping yourself here, man.
And he will... You know, Benson hit him, actually, yeah. So he's going to go for Benson.
I knew it. You didn't have it in you.
Shut the fuck up!
All right, that is a 30 to hit.
30?
Yeah.
Should have hit Grimshaw.
And
that would have been a crit on Grimshaw.
I don't know why he's telling me. And then he'll step, actually. He'll step here to get on the other side of Elkwood to avoid getting flanked again.
Huh.
The bleed. Uh-huh. He takes 2 points of bleed. Roll recovery check. Fail.
Yeah.
Benson, it is your turn.
All right. Benson, continually confused about why, he's like, hit me, hit me, I'm more vulnerable. You want a tip so hot, we'll call it Satan's foreskin? It's easier to hit me.
All right, Benson, you move to get back into flanking, I see.
Yep. Okay. Then we are going to swing.
Swing?
28.
Even with flanking, yep. That is a miss.
Alright, second swing, final swing. Thirty,
that is it.
Hey. Do 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 do.
Just kill him.
I'm trying, dude.
Just kill him.
In the middle of the battle, Hulk was like, just kill him, and Benson's like, fuck, just right.
Just fucking kill him, Benson, God.
20 points of damage.
Jesus.
All right.
Very solid.
Elkwood, your turn.
Oh, shit. Like, it's just that reaction kind of threw me off, because I'm like, yeah, I just want... Oh, wait.
All right.
Oh, wait.
There's only five people in this right now.
I know. Turns pass fast. So, yep, he's just got a swing. He's been flanking. Oh, that's better. An 18 on the die. 39.
39. That is a regular hit. Oh, one away from a crit, fortunately.
Damn. All right, whatever.
From what I'm seeing on the Paizo boards, reactions are simultaneous. So, it happens all at the same time. So...
Okay.
Like, he steps away. He steps away as, you know... Whatever. Doesn't matter. GM matters. The GM decides. And
30 points of damage.
Everybody gets the reaction.
He said 30?
Yeah, that's 8, okay. 5, 4, and a 7 from the D8s. That was a solid roll.
Alright. You got another one in you. He's on the edge there.
Alright, was that my first roll? Yeah. That was my first action. I think. Yeah. No. Yeah, it was, but I rolled garbage. That's a 3.
Oh. Okay.
Third, that's a 5.
Okay.
And the last is a miss. So.
Okay.
God.
Kezzer, you cherry pick this guy.
Yeah, you got it.
And he's still up. All right.
You're muted.
On Zoom.
Weird. I never do that.
He casts silence with himself.
Let's see. You're hoping this guy would just be dead. You know what? I'm just going to do another sure strike and another 5th level blazing bolt.
You and me both, buddy. We're both hoping to be dead by now.
Just die.
It is but a flesh wound.
Alright, I rolled a 3. But I let Brock roll my second dice because for cheating, he rolled a 16.
For the sake of cheating, I let my son roll. Alright, so for a total of...
Let me get that. 40 fire damage. Just
oh shit.
40. Stream of hit. Fire just blazes him.
All right.
Everybody's like, Jesus, you've been able to do that this whole time? We thought you were doing a light show. You could actually hit him?
What's the total damage?
40.
Oh, 40 damage. Oh, wow. Yeah. That'll outright kill him. Please describe your kill.
I mean, it's a stream of fire shoots up from behind the burning lodge and just cooks this guy on the ground.
So there's a giant hole in his chest, like from DBZ.
Yeah,
I like that.
Can we just say he cast special beam cannon?
Yeah. combat is over. The rain is still continuing to pour. I imagine that lightning, the lightning is hitting all around, and that must be why Malus got such a devastating critical hit on Kezra, was because he was up in the air and there was like some small lightning, and then when he did that, it just brought all the lightning down, and so now it's like storming and raining and there's mud everywhere and there's blood all in the street and the bodies, and Kenton Jotaro comes walking up. He's got like a cloak over him, and he comes running down the road from his lodge. And he's like stumbling down. He's like, what's going on? What have you brought here?
It's not what we've brought. It's what you've let infect your town.
Don't put this on me. This town was peaceful. Explain yourselves.
Grimshaw, classic victim blamer.
I turn them over, and I show the mark of the Scarlet Triad.
You see this mark? These are the people that are in your mine.
Fine. What you say is true. But we do need your help. Let's fix this place. It's your duty as champions.
And he begins grabbing a bucket and just, like, filling it up and just, like, bringing it over and just, like, helping other people.
I mean, obviously, Benson is going to help, but at the same time, it's like, it's your job because you're paladins to help us.
Yeah.
Well, now I don't want to do it.
No, I don't want to.
I'll do it because of the god thing, but
right,
it's not my choice.
Yeah.
I was about to say, after the combat, Elkwood just kind of runs over to Vimir because Vimir is badly damaged and starts tending to him. He's just you're fine. Yeah. We'll heal you. And he's going to do healing on
gloves
as much as possible. So.
Mm. If only we could find you food in this sea of corpses.
Well, you can't eat ashes.
That would be Kezra charring all of your food.
I know you'd like that raw.
Kezra. Yeah, as Jeltaro's walking away, Grimshaw kind of mumbles under his breath loud enough that Benson but Jeltaro couldn't hear.
We wouldn't be here if there wasn't a mess.
And
don't judge him too harshly. He's in shock.
You're right, Benson.
I mean, maybe he is a piece of shit, but we don't fully know yet.
Yeah, like, how does he have all that money to build that house anyway? Neither here nor there.
And he goes over and helps tend Vermeer too, because he has a couple of focus points.
Kezra goes to the people who are getting buckets of water by the creek to try to put this fire out, and he grabs 5 of them. And he's like, equip this bucket as a weapon. And then he casts enlarge on all 5 of them, and the buckets grow with them. So,
oh, that's awesome.
So now there's just 5 giant people for the next 10 minutes.
Nice.
Throwing gigantic awesome. Buckets of water sudden, in there.
Oh,
you just
gosh.
Hear Benson yell, "Giants, we're under attack again!"
Giants, kill them!
Kill giants, I knew it!
I'm going to give you a hero point, because that's a really cool use of that spell.
Really cool, yeah.
I know, that's I like so that, yeah. Nice.
I was going to cast it on us, but I was like, it's more funny if it's just a bunch of townspeople.
Except they're all confused and superstitious, so they're freaking out that they're all big all of a sudden.
Now, I'm big! Oh no!
they pick you up and they're like, take this curse off of me!
Or you just use it on 5 toddlers, so they're just normal sized.
Adult-sized toddler. Oh my god, that's horrifying.
So, yeah, I also thought, because I think you got a bit of telekinetic hull, right? Whatever is a spell. Because I was thinking, it was like, man, you could just like
you pick
up like
a wagon.
You'd
be like one of those helicopters to pick up a bunch of water.
I've actually still got telekinetic hull.
Grab a wagon.
I could grab a wagon, dip it into the water, and just pour it.
I could fill it. I could fill up. Boat with water.
Right. Oh. Yeah.
Kezra, I actually foresee a future career for you.
As a firefighter?
Starting fires and then going,
I was
going
to go the opposite way and say, like, quick, pick up a wagon and throw it on the fire. Let's get this party started. Turn into soccer hooligans.
Man, Kezra, you always happen to be near the fire whenever it happens. Yeah, strange how that happens.
I was just wandering around with my staff of fire, being like,
I was going to say staff of fire.
So you got a fire you need to putting out.
We're just in a hero meeting, and somebody comes in and it's like, guys, a warehouse just burned down. We all just look over at Kezra. Like, I didn't do it, sure.
So the entire town is coming together. Well, who's available anyway? This is like the main center of town. Remember, there's like 4 or 5 buildings. I think it said that there's not much happening.
Bustling cityscape, if you will.
Yeah. You could say that. Be wrong, but the group of people that are around that were in the Jealous Rat that were outside of it, they're out here helping. The guy who is. The guy who owns the educated turnip, he's like standing outside and he's just kind of staring at it, like awestruck, just like, oh,
whoa, that was him.
Come on, we need your help.
Of course. And he goes and he grabs a few buckets from inside and he starts helping too.
He's one of the people I make large.
Whoa.
What's funny is he's a wizard, so he might know that.
Did we say he was a wizard? I thought he was just an asshole.
No, no, no. He was a wizard that studied at wizard school and was a mixologist. That's
what's the difference?
Great point.
He was essentially an alchemist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's effectively an alchemist.
Oh, he's a wizard. That's why you're a prick.
You're better than everyone else who just spell books. Yeah, so everybody is out here helping, even the rival of the Jealous Rat, the owner of the Educated Turnip. Eventually, the rain and all of the water, and you guys do help get the fire out. There's irreparable damage done to it, but it's not gone. A lot of people start, like, when the fire's out, a lot of people are just, like, laying up blankets, you know, in their living rooms, and, you know, obviously the Educated Turnip just, like, opens up his tavern, to people to stay there. And you can finally get a long rest now, should you choose to
yeah,
do
I think
so.
Yeah, we'll go there. Go with that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely need to rest.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Tomorrow I need to salvage my belongings from the wreckage of the rat.
Probably just smoke damage.
Yeah, is there like a stable or whatever nearby?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. There's a stable like up the road. It's one of the ones where you drop your horse off at the beginning of town.
Yeah.
And then you walk around.
Yeah, there. He'll have Vamir, but he's gonna stay the night over there. Just keep tabs on him. Because yeah, even though yeah. he's healed, he's kind of had flashbacks for a moment.
Yeah, yeah. I, you know.
And with the spells that he was casting, that feeling the pain going through, he kind of got very empathetic. Or mental, like, the feeling, sharing the pain kind of made him a bit worried.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. The next morning is it's bright and sunny, but it's obviously somber with everything that happened. Canton Jaltero comes to you and he wakes you guys up. And he's got like a little like flask and he comes to wake you up and he's like, so he opens it, takes a drink.
Hold on, Jake, one second back. Before that.
What?
Something happens at night. Before we wake up.
Okay.
So, Kezra has a restless, fitful sleep. And he actually has a dream. So, he gets his room. He's, like, off on his own. And he's tossing and turning. And in his mind, it's from his own perspective. He's flying. He appears to be flying over Igorian, the capital of Old Cheliax. And there's the sound of large wings beating slowly as he soars and the sun shines. And then he kind of flashes down into the city. And it's in the past. It flashes to Adalar bailing Kezra out of jail. Being the first person to show him just grace and seeing past his obvious flaws as just a thief and a drunk. And then it's back in the clouds again. Kezra's flying over Breach Hill. And he's meeting Benson. He's meeting Elk. They're being charged with his adventure. They're going through the citadel. They're going through a jungle. He's fighting these cinder claws. And eventually they're in the skeleton of Dahak, the temple, where they slay the leader of the Cinder Claws. And then he's fast forward into Akravel where he's in the bath, nearly blacked out, speaking to little Kezra, asking for guidance from his dragon patron, Derubrajan. about just what to do next. And he's drunk. He's nearly passed out. He has achieved so much power during this time. But it was still challenging. He still needs help. Help from his friends. But he's also starting to enjoy having people around him. He's starting to get used to their company. Now it's back to the sky. He's flying back over the citadel now. But the clouds have darkened a bit. His flight has become faster and more erratic. The beats of the large leathery wings are harder and faster. And then it flashes to Adelar's death in the fight. The funeral pyre in the somber silence. The grief of Adelar's father. Kezra had never lost anybody that he cared about before. He had only left people he cared about. And those people flashed through his mind. His daughter. Previous people that have shown him some semblance of kindness, but he never trusted him. Now he flies through a cloud. And on the other side, it's stormy. And something bad is happening. This time it's not a memory, though. It's something else. He's flying over Kintargo now. And below, he sees an enormous dragon attacking and burning the city. And the city defenses are at battle with the dragon, and the bells from the keep are ringing that the city is under siege. There's chaos below. He passes through another cloud, and now he's lower over the city. And the people are running in fear from him now, instead of the dragon from before. Then, while in his conscious, he feels what's about to happen, what he's about to do. And he screams in his head not to do it. But the vision in the dream doesn't listen, and he lets out a huge gout of lightning on the city street. Just barbecuing countless people as they fry as the bolt just passes through. Chunks of rock and cobblestone just ripping up. It's like an explosion of lightning. As he flies up, he looks at his hand. It's this giant dragon claw. And he sees the symbol of Asmodeus on his palm, glowing and bloody. And then when he turns, the other dragon is there. And it's just giant maw. And then he wakes up. And he doesn't know where he is. He's not where he fell asleep. Not in the bed that he laid down in the inn originally. He's covered in sweat and he's breathing heavy. He looks around to gather himself. It's dark. It's silent. And he's standing silently. And he looks down over Grimshaw's sleeping body. And the gauntlet is on his hand. He has no idea how he got here. He starts. He backs up and he like knocks into a dresser or a side table. Makes a big clutter.
I think Grimshaw would wake up, you know, Morningstar next to him. And he just instinctively is just like, Malus! And he looks around and he sees you, maybe making out your form in the darkness, kind of holding up his glowing morning star now that it's activated in his hand. Kezra?
He's not standing there threatening. He's backed up from you. He's not like threatening you, but he's frightened. Or confused.
Yeah, so he sees that fright, that fear in your face, and he's like, "What's wrong? Are there more?"
No, just
There's no danger.
What?
And he looks down and he notices that you have the gauntlet on.
What?
And he runs. He flees and he goes outside. Before you can finish your sentence. And he doesn't come back.
And it's at that point that if you get up to go follow him, that Canton Jotaro comes walking up to you.
Oh. Good evening. Did you see Kesra?
Well, it would. Is this the next morning, or is this still at night?
Yeah, if you went to follow me, you don't find me. And
gotcha. Okay,
I'm nowhere to be seen. If you wait up for me, I don't come back.
I thought you were like, good John Cheryl was there in the night, too.
He was there in the night, too, just staring at you, watching this interaction.
Kesra's standing there, and he's just sipping his flask, just watching.
Yeah. Grimshaw's, he's pretty freaked out, and he's a paranoid guy. He always locks the door before he sleeps, and he goes back in and he looks at the door handle, and it's unlocked. I don't think Grimshaw's go back to sleep.
Kesra's good at thievery skills, all right.
Well, Kesra also has the other skeleton key.
That's true. I don't know if he'd waste it.
No, it's you can. He has the advanced one that can be used like once per hour or something.
Oh shit!
Yeah.
Okay, never mind then. Yeah, use that.
I use that, Kesra.
Just use it, man.
Of course.
In your murder attempt, use it.
So, morning comes. As I said, you wake up and it's like everything's still wet from the heavy rain before, and the entire town is sort of just in a somber mood because they lost the jealous rat. It can be rebuilt, but it's going to take time. It's going to take effort. And luckily this is a tight community, but that just means that they all feel this when something like this happens. So when Canton Jotaro comes to you all, he walks in and Grimshaw, I imagine you're just awake, just sitting in a chair off to the side or something.
Yeah, I'm.
He's like, "Oh, I pray you got some sleep. I know we have a long day ahead of us, but we will recover. We always have."
Is Kesra in the room?
No.
Yeah, we should probably wait to have this meeting until we're all present.
Yeah, because I was about to say Elquist's out in the stable, like he's waking up out there.
Is it literally just me and Jotaro and Benson then?
I mean, there's other town people and stuff
as
like that.
As like the group, though.
Yeah. It's just the three of you, and so he's like, "Tell your compatriots to find me. We will be bringing in lumber from some of the woodcutters out there. Luckily, many of them are giving their labor free of charge. I plan on feeding them. If I'm not here working, look for me in my lodge. We owe you a debt. If it's as bad as you say, then we wish to aid you in whatever way we can. If you need horses, if you need supplies, please just let us know, and we'll be happy to give you
those
things.
Our horses are still fine. I'm going to go check on Kesra in his room. Could you go check on Elkwood?
Yes. And Benson, you walk off, and Grimshaw hangs behind just a second. He turns to Jotaro, and he's like,
"I spoke a little out of turn last night. I'm sure tensions were high for both of us. But I do share burden for what happened to the jealous rat. The man, the one in the fine robes, he had a price in my head, so to speak. Not for anything bad I've done, but for the opposite. I'm a threat to him and his organization, so that makes me a target. I didn't even think about scrying magic, but it's the only way he could attract me down here. I am I do share responsibility for this. And the only way that I can repay you is by making sure that I wipe this town clean from their stain. I'm sorry.
Yes, tensions were high, but it's not every day that your contingents and your subjects are dealt with a raging inferno in one of the most beloved taverns in town. I apologize if I spoke out of turn as well. It appears that we both need to take responsibility for our actions and how we treat each other. But we have work to do.
Agreed.
I am a baron of this town, you're a champion of good. Let's get to work. And so he gets into town and he starts, like, you know, ordering this and that, and he's, you know, like, organizing people. And so they're starting to tear away parts of the jealous rat that are, you know, too far gone. Mm-hmm. And they're getting all the wood that they can, all the furniture, all that kind of stuff, just to start replacing things.
When was it built? I'm pretty sure that wall is pure asbestos.
The inspections didn't say anything.
He's like, we found this stuff. It's called asbestos. It works fine. We put it everywhere, actually.
We make clothes out of it.
I thought asbestos was a fire retardant.
It is. Yeah.
It sure is, which means that it didn't work.
It is quite bad for you.
That was really unlucky. You got the bad shipment of asbestos. Just as poisonous, it seems.
Yeah, the guys that fight fires on, like, the oil fields and shit like that, they have, like, asbestos shields.
So, also, just side tangent for asbestos, you know that there was a super villain in, like, comics called Asbestos Lady?
Or something, right?
I did know that.
Didn't we?
I think we talked about this.
Yeah,
because died of asbestos poisoning,
she did.
Right?
Yeah, she did.
Yeah.
Yeah, because her thing, her whole thing was that she went to fight Human Torch because you know they're like, you can't defeat me, and then she died of mesothelioma at age 45.
Mm. Oh my god!
They even have it. They're like, and she died of idiopathic mesothelioma at age 45, presumably from asbestos.
From the old asbestos.
Human Torch, you have to stop Lady Asbestos. I think she's doing that herself.
Yeah.
See the links that they had to go to get people, get information to people before the internet? They had to write a whole superhero and have a whole arc of her career from fighting the Human Torch to dying of mesothelioma so their kids would know that asbestos is bad.
There was an entire Sesame Street episode talking about how don't eat chips of lead paint.
Yeah.
Whoa. Because for some reason, lead paint is sweet.
There was an episode of Green Arrow where I don't remember who it was, but they're like driving and they're like trying to get somewhere, and one of the characters takes out a phone and starts texting, and then the other person is like, what are you doing? And he's like, I need to text so and so, and then she like closes the phone, she goes, it's not worth it. And it was like so very much just like a public service announcement.
And
through
as she
Green
was,
Arrow
as she was
one.
Looking over and telling her friend to not text, she hits a wall. Also, keep your eyes on the road, kids.
Yeah, just like, don't text and drive. But how do we make it relevant to the TV show?
Wasn't that like a theme of like the G.I. Joe TV show where they would like turn to the camera and do like the public service announcement?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, dude. I can send you a link to all the G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe.
They are entertaining.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Put it in what you're watching.
What you watching?
Oh, I will.
We're watching G.I. Joe PSAs.
Oh, yeah. Wait, when this episode comes out. Yeah.
Yeah, for those who aren't on the Discord, get on the Discord. There, we got
go get on the
funny
Discord.
Memes,
you're not on
great
there.
Song selections, recommendations, videos.
Been,
we got it.
There've been some pretty fire memes in our Discord as of late. I don't know if you guys have seen them.
Yeah.
Anyway, you all. I guess I need to ask you guys. What's happening? Because Kezra's gone. Elkwood, you were tending to Vemir, and the two champions, I assume, are helping.
Well,
but do tell
I imagine
me.
Benson finds Kezra's room empty.
Empty.
And all the toiletries and bedrobes are here, so Kezra clearly didn't spend the night and steal them.
Lil Kezra is still there. Sitting on the bed.
Wow. Okay.
Creepy.
He didn't sleepwalk.
Why?
Well,
what do you do? It just like, it was like coiled on the bed, and it just like
does the little like cobra thing and just kind of like slides up and like turns and looks at you, still like coiled up.
Well, you have an animal companion now, Benson.
I've always heard snake tastes good.
Yeah, what do I do with the snake?
I leave it in the room and I start running, looking around.
And have fun containing a snake in a room.
Not my problem anymore.
Seal every crack.
Yeah, really. Stuff a towel under the door. I don't know.
Benson sprints out to where Elkwood is.
I'm actually going to where Elkwood is. I don't. Yeah. I kind of do like a little knock on this horse stable. Like, hey, buddy, you good in there?
Yeah, he's up. Like, but okay. There is something. Like, he's like kind of with how big the mirror is. He's kind of like holding his head, kind of like, you know, a horse. Ooh. When the horse does the thing, and he's just kind of like stroking the feathers and stuff. He's like, but he's just whispering under his breath constantly because it did freak him out, like seeing him jumped. And it's like, again, it's like this magic that he unlocked. He had no idea what it is. And so it's kind of like frying his brain slightly, and then it's making him paranoid. But he's just kind of mumbling under his breath. And he's just, oh, hello, hey, oh.
How's Vermeer doing?
Oh, he's doing fine. Thank you for your assistance. He's just got quite banged up and cut. And it's just, thankfully, you know, there wasn't... it's only the couple of them. But I wasn't expecting them to dogpile him like that.
Yes, their tactics are surprising. Every battle is different. The priorities, they seem to shift. But, I'm sorry that he was in that position. I did all I could.
Yes, I saw. I just can't... I can't lose another one. Yes. Before you, when we were in the jungle, I had a wolf with me named Skolt, and he perished before my eyes. I felt it. And it was horrible, bad luck what happened. He was taken by a gout of flame from these demonic creatures. And then Vermeer appeared, followed me, and I had no idea what to think of it. Then, I guess as it happens, accepted me as a willing companion. But Vermeer has been quite beneficial and has taught me a few things, I suppose. I just... during the battle, I was... I don't know if you noticed, but I have no idea where I came from, actually. I developed a link that deepened more of the spiritual and physical. And when he was hit, I felt that come through me.
I did notice one strike that... It should have been almost fatal to him. And it looked like he didn't seem fazed by it at all. So you have developed a vitality connection with him then.
Yes. Not a bit sporadically, at least, but it's kind of confused me, I guess a bit, because again, it's like feeling this sharp pain coursing through me, and then it's also discovering what he's feeling. And I don't know, it's all a bit much at times, and I think last night it was all confusion all the time. I mean, honestly, I wasn't expecting to be attacked at the middle of the night during a storm by, you know, your former compatriot.
Yes, I have a suspicion that he was using scrying magic on me to find my location. I was a fool not to think that he would. So I bear responsibility for bringing him to us. There's no doubt that he would have had some sort of personal effect of mine with which he could have performed the magics. I don't know much of that type of magic, but I do know that it needs some sort of component. My magic, as you know, is from the gods. And it seems that you have come into magic yourself.
Yes, I... Unfortunately, to be honest, I never really knew my mother in general. And there may have been the whispers that she at one point knew some druidic magic, but I never had the chance to ever learn anything from that, so perhaps it's latent in my abilities themselves. I mean, when I started out, I just more or less used weapons to take out what I needed. Used agility. Used the shadows to stealth. But never had the need for magic. Until, you know, I met various others. And funny enough, I actually knew a wizard back in my old life. That was quite nice. Taught me various things, and he did tell me one ruling with wizards is that they are tricky sons of bitches.
That they are.
And the only way to make sure they're dead is to cut off their head.
Grimshaw, kind of feels like a chill go down his back a little bit. And he doesn't remember whatever happened to Malus's body. He kind of tries to stifle his expression of like real terror, you know?
Yeah, that's like when he kind of like turns slowly towards you, and it's just kind of like a blank expression on his face, like as he's talking. He's not even like looking excited or anything. It's just very base level. Like it's almost like, oh, it's just another Saturday, you know? It's...
Right.
Well, actually, speaking of Malus, I'm sure he might have some use of his accoutrements, and there is his, like, robe slung over the stable wall.
Oh, Malus's robe?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, we never looted the bodies.
I mean...
Yeah, never looted it. And instead, he's just... Yes.
Sounds like Elkwood did.
I'm assuming, then, that you, made sure he was dead, then.
Yes, of course. I wasn't going to allow him to slip away again.
Did you make sure he got his sweet J's? Pretty sure we're the same foot size.
Yes, they're right there, actually. Oh, they're signed. They're
covered in mud.
And they're
covered in mud.
And they're signed? Ah, but they're creased.
Benson creased those fucking J's.
That's great. He said, no, I didn't go to look through any of it, but you're welcome to. I mean, after all. I mean, honestly, if there was anything interesting, what does he have? Because I bet he has another spell book.
Right. Yeah, I thought we destroyed that spell book.
Kesra had it.
The really crazy one, yeah, we have it.
Yeah.
Well, no, you have two spellbooks because you have the one that Basharak had.
Oh, yeah.
And you have Malus's.
And now Malus's number two book, maybe.
Yes. I mean, it gets a good amount of time passed now that I think about it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I guess at this point, you see Benson kind of saunter into the stables. Elkwood, I can't find Kesra. Is he passed out in the feeding trough here? I've checked every bathtub, ditch, and whorehouse.
You know, speak of it, I haven't seen his pants lying around, and that's quite strange.
You guys know me so well.
Didn't he have the rune of returning put on his pants?
Best $20 I've ever spent.
I saw Kesra last night, actually.
When?
Now that you mention it.
Really?
He was in my room.
What? I'm gonna need some elaboration.
Just let it hang there for a little bit. No follow-up. Let it hang a little too long.
Just like Elk and like Benson looking at each other like, wait, what?
I saw Kezra last night in my room.
Not that there's anything wrong with it.
I respect your decisions, but where's he now?
Adding some romance to the party.
I legit, Tim, thought you meant to do that.
No, just the dead silence. Just like, oh.
Dead silence and then just the, what?
Well, I've heard that builds bonds in a party. And also ruins them, but either way.
He was... It looked like he had no idea how he got there. He had on that... That damned gauntlet.
And nothing else.
Oh my god.
Well, the second I heard you say he was wearing that damn gauntlet, I was like, I think I know where this is going. Corner pocket.
I believe I told you that my fried pants fell on you during the combat, and I didn't buy new pants.
Just free balling.
Oh my god. Wait, so he's running around like a Dark Souls 1 speedrunner.
Oh my god, it's just a loincloth.
It's just like the loincloth.
I figured we go with the Winnie the Pooh Bear. Just shirt and nothing else.
But he doesn't wear shirts. Kessler don't wear shirts.
That's the weird part. He has a shirt now.
He stole that shirt.
He lost his pants, found a shirt. What? Anyway, alright. You explain that Kessler appeared before you and it was ominous and strange.
And then he just took off. I tried to go after him, but he was gone. I assumed he, I don't know, trying to clear his head or something. I don't know if he was under compulsion, magic of some kind, or sleepwalking. I didn't think anything of it. I thought a lot of it. I didn't sleep last night. I thought he was going to kill me.
The second he mentions compulsion magic, Benson's going to look to Elk and go, "We got to start searching now." And Benson immediately turns to run out of the stable.
All right. They go searching for Kezra. Where is Kezra?
Yeah, where is Kezra?
Are we the players allowed to know where you
might
be?
Can I do a perception check?
Benson walks out, and he sees Kezra coming down the road with the horses.
Oh. Getting the horses.
Yeah, he starts tying them up on like some hitching posts.
Does he have the gauntlet?
Still naked, but...
He's naked with the gauntlet on.
Sweet.
Just like we left.
That's normal, okay?
Benson is going to approach Kezra.
I brought the horses. Need to find some new pants, though.
I've got some spares. We're both muscle daddies, so they'll fit you.
We both do leg day.
You never skip leg day. That's like page 3 of the Book of Iowa Day.
You know what this supply is like from Malus? Like the ribs, were they magical at all or no? Because otherwise you could...
Malus's ribs?
Yeah, otherwise you just tie the ribs around your waist. And there you go. You're fine.
Oh, yeah, no, just... Malus had just regular ribs.
Oh,
just looked wizardly.
Yeah, just tie those ribs around your waist. You're fine. You don't need pants at that point.
Grimshaw told me something rather interesting. Are you feeling yourself, Kezra?
Oh, you talked to Grimshaw. Yeah. I should probably go see him.
Yeah. You sure you're all there?
I'm fine.
No compulsions?
No, nothing like that.
Because the last thing I need in my life is have you trying to kill me.
No, I'll be alright. But I'm a little worried about Grimshaw.
Grimshaw was the weird one in that encounter.
I was in his room last night.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah.
So he goes and finds Grimshaw.
Dad, you all need therapy so bad.
Benson's just standing there going, I have no fucking idea what to think of this whole interaction.
I'm not licensed enough to help you with
that. Down the road.
I can heal physical wounds, but not mental.
That means, like, Grimshaw's not all right.
I had for the record, I had the most incredulous look on my face.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, Grimshaw was acting all weird. Weird.
I just went to stare at him while he was sleeping. He got up. He was all offended.
He goes, actually, he scared me. All right.
He had a gun.
Oh. That's why I ran out of the place.
All right. You all get together and do you help out the town? Okay. So you guys spend the next day either continuing to rest, depending on how much sleep you got, or helping out the town or whatever. So you guys are here for another day.
Yeah. Did Kezzer actually come up to talk to Grimshaw at any point?
He did, but he didn't. He didn't really address it. He just comes up to me and he's like,
"Hey, sorry about last night. I can explain, but let's help out this town and get on the road, and we'll talk about it then. Right now, the people need us, but I'll explain. I apologize."
All right. As long as it doesn't happen again, we shouldn't have a problem.
I don't think it will.
And then he puts the robe on. He waited to put it on until he saw you.
Just like I saw you last night.
Benson and Elkwood in the background going, "What the fuck is happening right now?"
I feel like I really missed something last night.
Normally my radar for these things are pretty damn good, but God.
You're also just like trying to work, and you're just like, "Can you do fucking stop?"
Like, off his robe.
So we spend like 15 more seconds just staring at each other, and then I go back. Then I go about my business.
The day goes on. You guys tend to your wounds. You tend to the town. You tend to the people.
Do I find all my stuff?
Okay. Yes. You find your stuff. It's a little smoky. In fact, your armor. What was your armor like? Blackened before? Because it certainly is now.
Yeah, you had that
cool look to it. Yeah.
But oh no, the raw salmon you were carrying in the bag now has a lovely smoky aroma.
Ooh.
So you guys. You gather all your things, Grimshaw, from the fire. Luckily, with the rain and everything like that, there's a lot of smoke damage in the upper floors, but you managed to recover it all.
Nice.
As the day goes on, you continue to keep thinking about what Malus had said about how he wanted to end this cycle, and how there was something about having a finite goal, having something to work towards and an end to it all. Mm-hmm. And the fact you wanted tomorrow to burn. I'll see you guys in the next episode.
That's some Cinderclaw shit right there, too.
Mm-hmm. That's some 90s emo band shit.
I know. Like Grimshaw's like that.